Very good.
Okay.
So any of your other team members joining us today?
Yes, right behind me, we do have Brianna.
Hey, Brianna, how are you?
Yep.
Good.
Carl should be on the phone here with us soon, virtually joining the meeting.
All right. You want to wait for him before we get started, or you want to talk?
He knows we're here, so he'll be on here any second.
Okay. So, you know, the way I like to start these meetings is with the first thing is, what's on your mind? And let's start with your agenda first. And I'm going to take a few notes, and then we'll go from there, and then we'll kind of cover some of the materials that we have scheduled for today. I want to really get into client acquisition, if we're ready for that.
Yep. I think Carl's joined us now.
Hello, Carl.
So hi, Carl. Let me close the window because the guard is here.
He might be muted. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
The wrong time. Carl, we hear you.
Okay, perfect.
We hear you now. So, okay, so we have some good news because we got two endorsed referrals over the course of the last week.
Okay.
An architect and his wife, who I'm going to have a follow-up meeting with on Thursday, and a paralegal who won a large settlement.
Okay.
Wants to invest the money. So the paralegal was, at the suggestion of my COI, her mortgage broker.
Okay.
And, I got to keep shutting the door. The noise is gone. And the architect came through from the CPA, who seems to never give me any enthusiastically endorsed referrals, but did give me a good referral there.
Okay.
We're not sure what's going to happen with that, but I have a meeting, a follow up with them on Thursday.
Okay, good. Talk about, tell me about how it came about. Why did the COI say, I'm ready to give you a name? How did that come about?
You know, that list of 10, screens that I gave you, Curtis, I went through that with him.
Okay.
But you know, now I want to focus on VIPSA, but I find that list of 10 screens is a good visual to have in front of them.
Okay.
While I'm discussing the potential, referrals together.
Okay.
Because
now they're kind of simpatico with you, right?
It's like Kate says, you know, you want them to feel safe, right, and effective with their referrals, right? So that thing, I think it plays into the safe part for sure, because they start to see what happens. And then we add to the safety level by other supernova suggestions about those referrals, such as, you know, how the process is going to go, how it's going to not come back to bite them, how it's not going to be a bad thing for the clients, how it's going to be a good thing. So I'm thinking about offering the architect that 90-day free look idea.
Okay.
The other one, she looks like she's coming on board pretty quick. So I'm just going to take her on as a client.
And you know, I would position it as up to a 90-day free look, so that they're not just saying, I'm going to withhold my decision for 90 days. If they decide in 3 weeks that they want to get to work with you, fine. Or 30 days, fine. But up to 90 days.
Okay. I'll make sure I say it that way.
Okay.
And then I guess the main thing that's been on my mind, and my team knows about this, is my inability to effectively use the VIPSA talk and some ambiguity about it. Like I know that Rob Knapp in one of the videos indicated that it's something to be used after a review meeting in person.
Right.
But now that we're not doing a lot of in-person appointments yet, although they're going to come back soon, but there's still a lot of cases of COVID and my clients are generally older. So we're kind of holding off on most of the in-person meetings. So to try to do it over the phone, and it's the same thing, I guess, one way or the other, but he does suggest doing it in person.
That's because, when we originally, came up with this whole VIPSA model, look, Zoom technology didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the idea of now beginning to integrate the technology into Supernova is something that we have to begin to start speaking about and referencing.
Okay.
I for one am big on, going digital, and I'm looking at some digital options for Supernova right now. In terms of our filing system, things of that nature. But the technology is out there. It's just in a lot of different places right now, especially artificial intelligence. So I would suggest that if you can arrange a virtual review meeting, okay, then do it that way.
Okay.
And,
why did you say artificial intelligence, Curtis? I'm curious. What do you mean by that?
Well, when you pick up your smartphone, go on to, Google and you say, whoops, I'm speaking as we speak. Let's say I say, give me, the bio of, Tom Hanks. Let me have the bio of Tom Hanks. Okay. Guy was born in Concord, California, up north here. And, July 9th, 1956. Mother was Portuguese descent. What it does is that's artificial intelligence. It's recognizing my voice and giving me the data or the information I need. Okay.
Okay.
So I can go and say, how many people in San Francisco have been affected by the coronavirus? And it gives me a graph and chart, 2,597 people since June 14th. So that's artificial intelligence. So the technology is there. I envision that at some point you would say, dial up John Jones and connect me video. Boom, it's done. The technology is already there. So that's what I think you're going to have to look forward to at some point.
Okay, I get you. Yeah.
It can be a very powerful tool. It can save time. And, I want to see at some point, show me the file for John Jones. Boom. And then you can create templates, move the file, send this, executive summary to Tom Jones. Boom. Sent. I want you to be able to, that's where things are headed.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to, look at that. For example, Merrill, can have a conversation with a client, call is recorded, and the digital summary of the call goes back to the FA. He can look at it, review it, cut and paste, send it back to the client.
That's pretty nice. I could do that too, but I'm just not keen on having my clients' calls recorded, but I guess you could. Yeah, I guess with my phone system, I could probably figure out how to do that. I should look into that.
Or you don't need to record the client's call. What you can do is you can dial up and you can say, today, my client, Mary Smith. We talked about bringing her insurance policies over. We talked about reallocating assets inside her cash management account. And she wanted to set up an educational trust for her children. And I need to get back to her on our next call and discuss that. Boom. It's fresh on your mind. It's done. The transcript comes to you.
Yeah, I was using that on my iPhone, and I also used a service that sent it right to the CRM for a while, but we found it easier, and we found that we were still typing in a lot of the notes at that point, because the technology just didn't help us enough at that point.
Right. Yeah, there's outside service now that's doing that. I'm looking into it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, congratulations to the team on the two new, referral opportunities. That's exactly what we're looking to begin to see. And, and that came from two of your COIs. Imagine what happens when we get six of them doing a full court press. Okay. And you're getting three or four or five per month. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just your COIs. That's not even using your VPSA model, referrals. Mm-hmm. So remember, the VPSA model is going to be used after you have done something well with the client. Hey, if I could take a few moments and query you, we've got about 15 minutes left on our call today, Mr. Jones. I want to discuss what you're valuing in our relationship. Just a quick survey. Go through VPSA like that. Or when you've had a review, go through VPSA like that. You can use it more than once. You can use it after you've done something very impactful for the client that they're really, thank you, I'm really pleased. Go right into the VPSA model.
Yeah, I was thinking about as they get their folder to use it.
Right.
And, but the problem I was having was some of the letters just, like the I and the A part of it wasn't flowing real good for me. I needed more practice with it. It just wasn't flowing out.
Yeah, I know. That takes time. Yeah, that takes time. That'll come. And, you got to put it in kind of the language that you use.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And if you want to one day dial me up, go through it and get a critique, try it on your team members first. But if you want to come to me and do it, feel free.
Okay. Yeah. I was working with my team members on it. And all it did is showed that I'm weak in that area.
Yeah, that's okay.
In that area. And it's not because I'm afraid of asking.
No, not at all.
I want things to flow naturally and be genuine, and it's hard for me if I have a script. So I have to, figure out how to use it.
Remember, you're making a lot of changes right now. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't expect everything to be, I know you do, but I don't expect everything to be perfect in 6 or 7 weeks. Okay. But you'll get there.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell me by way of agenda that you want to make sure we cover today?
Nothing really. We put on our calendar a few things today that we're going to do, like evaluate the nonprofits in the community. I'm on a board right now, but it's a ski and sports club, and it's been, the board members aren't really meeting much. I'm not sure I want to stay with that board. I maybe do something more engaging for me, possibly. I'm not sure. So,
One of the things, look, we don't want to be, too selfish about how you, the kind of boards you get on, but what you have to think is start with some of your interests and causes that you have a passion for. Okay.
Yeah.
So for example, I had a passion for the development of youth. And I was on the board of the Y up here in the Bay Area, and it was 16 Ys. Annual budget, $50 million. The endowment was about $30 million. I was on the investment committee. But the board members, there were 25. Partner at a law firm, a VC individual, you know, and so, you know, periodically I'd say, you know, look, Joe, we haven't really had a chance to have much interaction, outside of the board. Let's set up a lunch.
Yeah.
Let's set up a call. It's that easy.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I got to do is properly work with my board members. But I think I will. It's like they say in Kate's book, you know, you get a lot of confidence that you can talk to anybody in the community when you use the supernova model. So
that's right.
I have no problem with that.
Okay. So that's just a thought. Okay. What I want to do is, take you, go back and review the material in 8 for a moment.
Okay.
And the material in 8, the most important thing there was your monthly client meetings. And we talked about that last time. And make sure that you determine the type of meeting you want to have. You know, your touch-based 15-minute phone meetings, okay?
Yeah.
Read portfolio summary, topic of the month, what did you value today?
Yeah.
Okay. Your 30 to 45-minute meeting, same thing, little longer, more detailed summary of the portfolio, and then your agenda item, which is your educational topic, what did you value today? Okay? Then your in-person review, client personal update, portfolio review, educational topic, you know, your new topic or your monthly topic.
Yeah.
And then evaluation of the service. That's when you use your VIPSA technique to get introductions. Okay. All right. Now, I think you really, really understand the benefit of COIs. So I'm going to move from that and jump into 9, which was acquisition and leadership. And I'm going to zoom through that. Okay. You're building your referral model, and we get into this concept of 96-4-221, right? So the 90 represents the 90-day free look.
Yep.
Okay. Any questions about the 90-day free look at this point?
No, you clarified it up to 90 days, as you said.
Okay. Up to 90 days. Your 6 COIs. You've got that. How many COIs do you have?
We've identified in our CRM 2, I believe, right now.
Okay.
But we're working on 3 others to, so we get to the 6. We have 3 prospective COIs.
Okay. Let's get closing on that. Now, you can't do them all at the same time. You got to stage some of this stuff in. Okay. So your 4-member mastermind group, these are people that like you, want to work with you, but they represent different entities, and they agree that we're going to come in as a group and work for the good of that group. Okay? So it might be a dentist. And so the way up, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you probably the best PDF on mastermind groups I've ever seen.
Okay.
It's 54 pages in length. Okay. And it's got a lot more depth than what we have here.
I did do one thing on that. I know that you can form more than one mastermind group, right? So
yeah,
I went ahead and tried to start the process. So the suggestion was find the first member and then you two find the next member until you get to four.
Exactly.
Right. And so there's one young man. He's the son of one of these companies I work with, manage their Simple Plan.
Right.
And he's an air conditioning HVAC AC specialist. And I noticed that he comes to our networking meetings at BNI regularly, comes prepared, very motivated, good with his clients, good with the servicing aspect of what he does, good manner about him, and somebody who seems to be continuously learning. So I said to him that I would like him and I to start a mastermind group, and he was for it.
Okay.
You know, but I don't know if he's the perfect person for it. You know, he's probably about 28 years old.
Okay.
He's a journeyman, you know, electrician, HVAC guy, sort of, you know, has a little bit of that blue collarish feeling about him, but he's really a guy that has a lot of growth potential and a lot of growth. He's moving in the right direction is what I should say. And so I thought he would be a good starting point for something like that. Curtis, do you think I am going up the right tree with that?
Well, look, a person in your mastermind group is someone that can support your efforts and you can support his efforts. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, look, I've got a client, part of my enthusiastically endorsed model that could probably use some of your services. His name is Robert Smith. I'd like to set up a personal introduction. Robert had mentioned that, that his air conditioning went out. Now, if that kind of conversation comes up, he's probably a good person. But what you want is people who need things, need services. Okay? Like the lawyer that like the client that needs a trust. And here's the lawyer in your mastermind group. It's the real estate guy who connects with the mortgage guy. You know, so there's this interrelationship connection. But these things can get large. Some people have had mastermind groups with as many as 24 people in them.
I figured the criteria for me was somebody who's hungry to continue to learn and excel. Like okay. That was the prime criteria.
I think the first criteria is, do they have the potential to deliver relationships to you? And do they feel comfortable with that?
Got it.
Okay.
Got it. Okay, I'll rethink that then.
Yep. Okay. So I'm going to make a note here today to send you the PDF on mastermind groups.
Okay.
And I'll give you a week to kind of go through it prior to our next call.
Okay.
Okay, because that's a great document, because I just formed one. They were seven managers from different organizations that are part of mine. Morgan Stanley, UBS, all the wirehouses, JP Morgan Chase. And they really liked that. Two community boards. And it sounds like, a good one is like the chamber. get on the chamber board, get on, but don't get on any investment committees due to conflicts. But get on those boards. Most of the time what they want is they want your time and they want your money. So be very, very careful. If youth is your thing, Boys and Girls Club, the Y, you know, mentoring, that sort of thing. So think about those type of boards, but go with where your interests lie.
Yeah, for me it's education. I like education. I like learning. So
then that
science.
Science, yeah. I mean, those are the boards I've been on in the past. I was on the board of a symphony.
Mm-hmm. Arts.
Yep.
Arts probably, I'm not a big arts guy, but I would probably consider arts too, because by the potential right people would be there, but you got to have a passion for the board, you know, and to me, education and science, that would give me the most passion. I mean, as far as like something I'd like to be involved with.
I was on a community college board in Michigan.
I could do that. Was that useful? Was that good?
Yep, that was a great one. But see, the thing is, I was a manager, so I brought in relationships to the office. Okay.
As a manager. Right.
I was on a hospital board, one of the fifth largest all children's hospitals in St. Petersburg, Florida. And everybody on that board was pretty wealthy.
Yeah, I got to look into that. I do that.
I was on the board of an organization called St. Pete Progress, designed to attract business to the downtown community.
That's an economic development board then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
United Way. You know, I was on a fraternal board.
What is that?
It was Sigma Pi Phi, nationwide.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm currently on a the Youth and Leadership Development Foundation of San Francisco. I'm on that board.
Hmm.
I formed it. and put a lot of the members of the fraternity on that board. And, you know, it's not a big one, but we gave out 20,000 in scholarships last year.
That's not bad for something that you formed. You know, I'd be proud of that.
It's like 36 months old.
Oh, that's really good.
And we already had started an endowment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that gives you an idea of what I'm talking about. There's a range. And out of that range, pick something that interests you. And what you do is you call up, look on the website, and say, look, I've got a passion and an interest in this, and I'd like to work with you all. And I'm wondering if we could sit down and talk.
Yeah.
What are they going to say? No? Absolutely they will.
Right. Even if they always need another volunteer board member, I guess.
Volunteers, committed people that are like-minded. Absolutely. So that's how you do that.
All right.
Okay. Your two niche markets. You've identified those in previous conversations, so that's done, right?
Well, we have the Boeing employees and the cardiovascular surgeons, but the thing is, I have two Boeing employees. None in the pipeline. Two Boeing employees, none in the pipeline right now, but I want to get more.
Okay.
And then cardiovascular surgeons, I just have one.
Okay.
But he's the kind of client I want to duplicate over and over again. So.
He's probably in an association.
What's that?
He's probably in an association.
Yeah, he probably is. So I gotta find out more as we go, and I haven't. We've been so busy every time we talk, we're basically focused in on all the little aspects of his financial planning, and I run his company's 401k and pension plan, and so we're dealing with the TPA, so we will get to that. next call, but I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, one of the things that they will always have to do is they will have to eat. Okay? Mm-hmm. They got to eat. They can be busy as all get, but they got to eat. Okay?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
They can lead you to pharmaceutical sales guys, too, and organizations.
Okay, yeah, that might be a good branch to branch off into, because they have all kinds of people that would know other cardiovascular surgeons, so.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, Curtis, so, okay.
Okay. I know a little bit about that business. I had an arterial tear on April 25th of 2019. And I had a triple bypass.
Wow.
I was working out 5 days a week. And my recovery was really, really fast. But yeah. I have a surgical group that I speak with on a frequent basis.
Okay.
And I know that these guys, like, you go on their website and you look at their curriculum vitae, and you're going to see all kinds of connections.
Right. Right. Because they're a group. Yeah.
They're a group. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta get inroads into things like that. With right now, I've got him. Our relationship's really great. It's getting better. What I was gonna do, his folder's going out this week. So on the follow up to the folder, that was kind of my game plan, is to go, you know, using the folder and the reminders and things that it has in it is a great gateway to all these conversations. So.
Okay.
I felt like the folder would be the prompting, the prompting event that would bring it out.
Great. Don't forget those five resources for growth. When you look at your clients, existing clients giving you referrals, if just take 50 clients that give you, I'll take 25. And get one introduction. That's 25 prospects. 6 COIs. 12 introductions per year. 60 potential prospects. Your mastermind group. 4 members. 8 introductions per year out of that group. 32 potential prospects. 2 niche markets. They give you 10 introductions, 20 potential prospects.
Yep.
You'd have prospects coming out of your ears.
I noticed there's a tool to keep track all that stuff that you gave us in TikTok too.
Okay, so let's break that down for a minute. Let's take your goal for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. What is your revenue goal?
Revenue goal? I'd like to double the revenue.
Okay. And what does that mean? To what number?
Net revenue to the firm last year was about 110.
Okay.
So 220 would be good.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your minimum acceptable client size. What number are we talking about?
500,000. If I want to keep it to 80, yeah, 500,000 would be the right number.
Okay. 500,000.
And that seems to be a good number. Even though these last two both said that it would be about 400,000 they'd be bringing in. I don't have any problem with that.
Okay. So you have 50 clients doing 110. So. Mm-hmm.
38 high net worth households right now.
Okay. I'm going to just break that down, and they're giving you 2.20. So if I take,
by the way, the gross on that's like 136 or something, but you know, when I get it, it's 110.
Okay. Okay. So
I don't know if that matters.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to just do some math here. Okay. So they got to give you about $2,000 in annual fee income to get 50 people to, in order to get you to 100,000 or 2,000 times 50. That's 100. So if you take your clients to 100,000, you're basically, are going to double your production.
Yeah. And if I get the rate of referrals that I'm seeing right now and it keeps accelerating, that shouldn't be that difficult.
So 50 divided by 12 is you've got to establish about 4.1, let's just call it 4 new relationships per month. Okay. So your goal in terms of new households is about 4. Okay.
Yeah.
You got 2 by just working with your COIs. So now once you pull your mastermind group, you start getting them from clients, that's where you're going to get a minimum of 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's set a target here. Once you go from 50 to 70 relationships, I want you to take that $500,000 number and start getting your ask up to 750.
Okay. I will.
Because what we're going to do is we're going to put you on a pathway to get to 1 million. So incrementally, we're going to be raising the bar. We're at 500 now. We're going to go to 750. Then we're going to go to $1 million relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because the type of client that you have establishes the brand. What you want to do is you want to elevate your brand. Okay.
Right. Don't want to miss out on opportunities trying to do that though.
What's that now?
I don't want to miss any opportunities trying, you know, in the meantime that are coming my way. And I want to impress these COIs that are sending me referrals. So I'm
You're
okay.
You're going to elevate your COIs.
Elevate the COIs. I'm okay with the number though that I'm at though. I don't have to immediately
jump. Yeah. No, you know, we're not talking about a wholesale change right now. But as you begin to bring in that, attorney that deals with trusts, those are going to be $1 million clients. Okay.
Yeah.
So I just want you to have this vision of where this thing can go.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I feel the vision.
Okay. So that's really the stuff that we garnered from number 9. Now, when we look at number 10, it's all about the BIPSA strategy, community involvement, social networking, and converting difficult prospects into clients.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, if you're getting personal introductions, your close rate is probably going to be upwards of 90% or more. So go for the personal introductions. And so now it's like go back and say, how many personal introductions are you going to need to get at least 4 new relationships per month? Now, I'm going to give you some crazy math.
Uh-huh.
Go for 8 personal introductions as a goal per month.
Okay.
And if you get a minimum 50% close rate, you're going to have 4 new relationships.
I like that.
Okay.
By the way, these last two, other than personal introductions, they were just kind of standard referrals where, like one of them, the lady that was referred by the mortgage broker, he gave me the number and I called her and we got in contact and everything started going from there. The other one, was just, you know, call Larry. Right. I don't even know what the endorsement sounded like from the other end. I couldn't really, he didn't say that, the client didn't say I was enthusiastically endorsed or anything of that nature.
Right.
He said, Brandon, you know, said to call you.
Okay.
So what I'm getting right now is not quite what we want to occur in the future, but it
wasn't the handheld personal introduction that we want. You know, we don't want him to say, hey, here's Larry's card, call him. What we want is we want him to get that client on the phone with you, making that personal introduction. That's where we're going to.
Yes. That's the goal. Okay.
Okay. So now we've got our math down. Mm-hmm. And look, once you get to 100 relationships, then we got to go back to segmentation strategy again.
Yeah.
Looking at the screens. Who do we keep?
Right. That's a couple years away maybe, but yeah, we got to hit that.
I bet you that's a year away that you'll have to, you know, segment 4 or 5 relationships.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you don't want is you don't want to have 150, then you can't, you know, work the stair step to the stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have time in your pipeline to create the concierge service. So your service will suffer. That's why you segment.
So I need a licensed like advisor or something in the firm to give those clients to at some point maybe. So I don't know what else to do with them.
Yeah, that's it. So maybe what happens is one of your client associates gets elevated to servicing that part of the book. They get licensed, they get registered, they're trained, and they morph into a junior advisor.
That would be fine. But the last one that got licensed, he got a job offer at E-Trade that was unbelievable, so he had to leave. So
yeah,
it's a scary proposition to get somebody licensed here now after that.
I know. So what you have to have is, you know, you have to structure the non-compete and all that other stuff. Okay. Nobody takes any clients with them and that sort of thing. So.
Oh yeah. He wouldn't do that. He wasn't going to do that. And I'm very happy for him and I'm happy for any of my team members that do well.
Right.
But to find that commitment level when they're first starting, that's the challenge, but we'll see how it goes. That's in the future.
Yeah, that is definitely in the future. Definitely in the future. All right. So that's what we want to do. Now, on this VIPSA thing, why don't you pull out the script?
Okay, I got it right here.
And why don't you take me through it?
Okay. Here it is. Hi, Mary. Where's that at? Oh, here it is.
Call me Curtis.
Oh, hi, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
Good. I would like to ask you if there's anything else that you and your family values in the relationship and experience in working with us and the service we provide.
Okay. Now let's stop right there. It's okay to give your brand of small talk.
Yeah.
You know, Curtis, it occurred to me since we've been working together, and we've been working together very, very well. And, you know, I want to kind of ask you some questions about what do you value in the relationship? What are you getting out of it?
That's how I would really have to do it. Yeah. I couldn't
just
like I did. So.
Matter of fact, you know, hey, but you know, we've been working together and, you know, we're always wanting to improve our service. And so I want to ask you, what do you value in the relationship? What are you getting out of it?
Okay. That's another, another, you know, way of putting it. And I just keep learning ways and it's going to get better and better.
I want you to do what's comfortable for you mm-hmm. in terms of your dialogue.
Yeah.
And how you lead into it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
So you want me to go back to the V and do that again?
No, just go to the next section.
Okay. And by the way, I also in that little conversation would give some of these suggestions here because sometimes they don't know what to say, right? They're not prepared. So
right.
I give messages. So the next one is after you've given all the suggestions and you've heard whatever, you get this, what else might be important to you? I don't know how that's really, what are we expecting back as our answer there?
You know, I want to make sure that I'm keying in on your goals, and expectations. And, you know, there's such a range of subject matter in this business that I want to make sure that I'm focusing on what's important to you. You know, for example, would it be the education of your children? Would it be kind of working toward an educational home? Would it be that you want to establish a travel fund where you're going to go someplace four times per year? Are there some career expectations that you have? I want to be sure that I understand your goals and what you want to accomplish.
Okay. It feels like it's out of context then, because we just went in, we got a client who we've done financial planning for, and we know what's important to them. Or, you know, if it's a new client, then that might not be so much out of context. But if we just said, and we just asked them, what they value in the relationship, and aren't they now telling us about what they value, why that's important, or what's important about what they value, or is this a brand new topic?
What it is, I want to just reinforce that I'm on the right track. Based on our planning conversation, you said that these things were your top priorities. I just want to make sure that those are still consistent as part of what you want to try to accomplish in this relationship, that they are important to you. Is that true?
It lets them remind me about what's important to them or tell me for the first time, or I can remind them, but it just brings up the things that can be done by us in a relationship that's important to them. Is that the idea?
Exactly. And then you plant the seeds.
Okay.
Things that they may not have thought of.
Okay. And so I'm just like before, I could say, well, you know, in the, what is it you value stuff? I could say, you know, is it the frequency of contact? Is it, you know, my listening to this and being sensitive to the needs of you and your family and special yeah. considerations you have? And then I would say, what else might be important to you? And it feels like I'm pushing for more of what I just got above.
Yeah, but don't be alarmed. If there's nothing, that's okay.
Okay.
I like the way things are progressing for us, Larry, and keep doing what you're doing. Okay?
Yeah.
Go on to the next piece.
And then it's got this phrase, what do you mean? Like all of a sudden I'm curious about, what, you know, I don't know what the answer was with what else might be important to you, but all of a sudden I'm curious about that, whatever it is, you know, they say what else might be important to you. And, you know, it's just having a plan and, having some security of knowing that I'm not exposed to some speculative investments. What do you mean by that? Is that where it goes there? And what do you mean? We just want to make sure we constantly fine tune our service and capabilities for you. If that's okay. I don't know. That's out of context again.
Yeah. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get them to define, what is meant by they're asking you that question, right? They're asking, what do you mean, Larry?
Oh, they're asking me that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I'm asking them.
No, they're asking you. What do you mean?
Because it does say, what do you mean? We just want to make sure. Oh, they say, what do you mean? What else might be important to you? What do you mean? Oh, I get it. Okay. All right. I was not following this. I thought we were saying that. and it was felt so awkward. Okay. Well, then there you go. And then they, then after having told me their values, and I say, what else is important to you? And all of a sudden that, you know, that would throw them a little off balance, and they might say, what do you mean? Or something of that nature. And I can explain it. Well, we just want to make sure that we constantly fine tune our service and capabilities for you, if that's okay. That's a breakthrough for me, Curtis, because I didn't know how to read that part.
Okay. That's okay. All right.
And, with your permission, and you know, Cates talks about this. He doesn't go through all the everything. But with your permission, I would like to briefly brainstorm with you. I can do this quite well now, I think.
Okay.
We are always looking for good clients that would like to work with our team. Are we at the point in our relationship that you could enthusiastically endorse us, and with, you know, with that brand of small talk surrounding that? But yes. Okay, I got that.
Okay. Perfect.
And then I was just stuck because the sentences before didn't seem to jive for me.
Okay. But now you feel more comfortable with that?
Yeah, I just wasn't tuning into what was trying to be done there. Let me explain our introduction process. It's a meeting over coffee, so this is where they let you know it's a safe thing.
Right.
You would bring the individual with you. That's where I noticed they could get antsy about that.
Or if it's done virtually, we just set up, you're bringing your friend together, and, you know, if it's in person, it's over coffee or something or breakfast, and we're making an introduction. I just want you to know we're not going to abuse or misuse the relationship. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's what I want to ingrain in them, that this is going to be a safe thing for them.
Right.
Kate's talks a lot about, you know, how there's a lot of insecurity, and there's a lot of different ways people refer, that some of them know exactly how to talk to the referral source and right. what they're looking for and how to direct you, and others have no clue, and you have to know that.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Let me explain the introduction process. It's a meeting over coffee, breakfast, lunch. You would bring the individual. We could even do it on the phone. I would throw that in there, by the way.
Yeah. Okay.
To make this introduction, but you know, breakfast, everybody's got to eat, so why not? I find out a little bit about them, and we explain who we are and what we do. And then at the end of the meeting, then we determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting with just the potential clients warranted and possible. And that's it. No pressure.
Yeah.
If there's a follow-up meeting, we explain this 90-day free look period we offer. And this is when we give the potential client an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client. And they are placed on our schedule for contact and follow-up. And, you know, they get to experience this five-star service, the highest level of service that you can get in this industry. And then prior to the end of that 90-day period, they make the decision if they'd like to work with us. And then it has use this here or later in the conversation. I'm not sure how that.
That was just that paragraph, that phrase. Can use that right then or later.
So then it goes, so who in your network of family, friends, neighbors, church members, businesses might welcome a personal introduction? And then Kate says, Rob Knapp said it, let's start with your family because we wouldn't want to leave them out.
Right.
Which is what he said. I'm very comfortable saying that.
Okay.
Okay, beyond family and, you know, who's the most urgent in here? Who most urgently needs me? And can you prioritize on them? Is what Knapp said today in the video. And how would you suggest we meet him? And I would be comfortable with all that now. I needed to flow through that and figure out why I wasn't able to.
Yeah, so. Just make it a regular conversation and, you know, 90-day free look. Let me explain what we mean by that, that they get a chance to kind of kick the tires for a bit, see how we work with them and what our potential is to establish relationship. If during that period or up to 90 days, they decide that, hey, it's a comfortable working relationship, then we start working together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By then, I've created a folder for them, a website, a financial plan, put them in my database, and had several calls with them. I mean, the puppy dog's going to stay.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing. See, this is why you are delivering so much now in terms of value added concierge service. Now you got to elevate who you talk to so that they can benefit from that.
Oh yeah. I'm not going to do that for any old person. That's going to be the right situation because it's a lot of work and a lot of fun and risk to put into it for our firm.
Exactly. Okay. But you've already got two referrals, so you're on your way. And once we start getting that pipeline going and targeting 8 and closing on 4, you know, per month at minimum, then you'll be on your way to the double that you're looking for.
Okay. I think this is going to do it, and I feel like we deserve it with the level of service we're bringing to the table. So that confidence part is now – in the bag. It's just a simple matter of, you know, execution.
Okay. All right. Before we close, anything else I can do for you?
Brianna? Carl? You guys have anything?
Carl?
No, I don't think I have anything.
So, Carl, are you staying with us all the way in terms of your understanding of what we're trying to accomplish here?
Yes. I think I have a fairly good grasp on it. I feel like a lot of it isn't stuff that I'm doing right now, but I am paying attention and trying to pick up as much as I can.
How about you, Brianna? From a distance over there.
Me too, Andrea. I think I'm absorbing everything.
Curtis, I have a question.
Yeah.
As I bring the team through this process, I feel like I'm the one who has the most responsibility to execute on these various things.
Right.
I'm the one who has to learn and take these concepts out into the field. I just wonder if my team members, although they won't say it, you know, feel like, you know, their job doesn't include this type of training. And my gut feeling is, and I know they may not express this right now. I don't know if they will, but my gut feeling is if they understand this process better, they're better able to support the whole process, whether or not they have a verbal role in helping to land to acquire the next client.
That's a really good point, because what has to happen is they've got to look at making sure that you can free up your time so that you can execute on these things.
Yes.
If they don't block all of the minutiae that comes to you, you're not going to have time. All of a sudden now, when you go from 50 relationships to 75 or 100, your time is going to be extremely important. Right now, they've got to help you manage your facing time with clients. Okay? You're the guy that rings the cash register. And if you don't have time to ring the cash register in terms of prospects, talking to clients, the revenue doesn't come in. You can't deliver the service. So there's a service component that they must support.
Yes. Go ahead if you have something, Carl, but I can see that, and I feel that, and I think they know that too. And I think what they're going to be doing is they're going to be striving to create a situation where I don't have to check any of the work. Basically, they know their job inside and out.
Right.
And what that does is that frees me up to be able to not think about the administrative process so much, and all the other minutia, but focus in on this client acquisition. As we're doing this, I can see they're going to get more and more hours, higher pay, more bonuses, all that from that.
Right.
So yeah, it behooves them to be here, Curtis. I just wanted them to be told by you why.
Yeah, that's the real rationale. And if we can grow this business, I mean, it's almost like you're not a startup, but let's just call it, We're a startup on Supernova. They're a part of a startup kind of business that we're trying to take it off like a rocket ship. And they're going to participate in the positive consequences and rewards for this business accelerating. That's the dream. That's the vision.
Yes. They've got to carry the torch of organization in this business for me to a large degree so I can take my mind off of it. And that's what I'm trying to help them do.
You know, look, they may not be equipped this moment, but, you know, let's say that you were out of the office and somebody calls in. I was referred to by John Jones. Well, I expect, Larry to be back in the office in an hour, and he'll be happy to talk to you about our concierge capability. Now, where does that word come from? They sat on the call, they heard about it, they know about it, and now they're expressing that to the client. Now the client can't wait to hear more about the concierge service when you arrive. They're planting seeds.
So if they're not being effective in this, then they're not hungry enough for the money. They're not hungry enough for the knowledge. So if they are effective in that, that means they are hungry for the money and the knowledge.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say to that. Look, money in and of itself isn't a sufficient motivator long term.
No.
Quality of work, quality of the working relationship, being able to learn, but I always tell people, if you're not interested in the money, give it to charity.
They are.
I know they are. I know they are.
Yeah.
That's the positive consequence of allowing you to do what you need to do. And you're going to do it, my man. I appreciate everything that you all are trying to accomplish in support of each of the team members.
Thank you, Curtis. Thank you. Oh, there was one other thing.
Yeah.
As team members, it does indicate that some team members on these teams will do nonprofit stuff in the community as well. I'm not asking them to do any of that, but they did ask me if, in a way, not directly, but if they thought that as part of this firm, they ought to think about that. And at this point, I just said, well, it's neutral. You know, it's, I don't know what to think about that, but they're not financial advisors, but they would be, it would be great for them to volunteer in the community. I mean, it doesn't hurt anything. And our firm would have a bigger reach.
That's right. And, but look at your, Carl and Brianna, look at your affinity groups, and organizations that you might want to support, and be a part of. And that helps your own personal growth and development. So, you know, you have to think about what that really means to you. You don't have to make that decision tomorrow or today. But, you know, over time, think about, you know, what gives you meaning to your life. Work does, that's one. Helping others is another. Gives meaning to your life. That's why I do it.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay. So think about that.
Yeah. I mean, just, I get a lot of great feelings just helping these team members move along in their life, you know?
Yeah.
And having an organization that allows that to happen.
Absolutely.
So this is all very fulfilling, Curtis. Thank you.
Okay. So we know what we want to do next week. Oh, PDF on mastermind groups. So we can spend a little more time talking about that. I got to send that to you. So enjoy the rest of your day. It was a pleasure being with you.
Thank you, Curtis. You as well.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Curtis. Have a great day.
Bye. Okay, bye now.